Genesis 3, verses 8 through 19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put in enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return."
Church, you may remain seated as we sing verses 1 and 2 of 244, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Thank you. Our second reading this evening is found in Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice."
Would you stand with me as we sing together verses 1, 3, and 4 of Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Our third reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, about 700 years before the birth of the Lord. And this is what was written. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, and then has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
You may remain seated as we sing together verses 1 and 4, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Thank you. probably reading from the book of Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days.
And verses 1 and 4 of O Little Town of Bethlehem, you may remain seated.
The fifth reading tonight comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35 and verse 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Church, would you stand with me, please, as we sing together all three verses of "Worthy You Are Worthy."
Thank you. The sixth lesson begins in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And the Word of God says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn."
Church, you may remain seated as we sing together both verses of "Isn't He?"
Our seventh lesson this evening comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Let us hear the word of the Lord. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for the people, all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger."
Would you stand with me, please, as we sing together verses 1, 2, and 3, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
Oh,
Thank you, church. You may be seated.
The eighth lesson this evening is out of Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ child was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where their child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly and with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way."
Please remain seated as we sing together verses 1 and 3 of "What Child Is This?"
Thank you.
Final reading this evening comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And this is what God's Word says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." These verses in John's Gospel are often referred to as the prologue. And in this prologue, John uses the clearest of terms to express the most profound truth in all the world. Namely, that the eternal, infinite God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the theme of John's entire Gospel. Jesus, the divine Word, became flesh. But why did John begin his gospel with this prologue? Why didn't he simply start as Matthew and Luke do by telling us about the circumstances of the conception of Jesus and his birth? In a strikingly different approach, John begins his gospel with Jesus already as an adult. The only material in John's gospel that precedes the launch of Jesus' ministry is this prologue of 18 verses that we just read. The answer to this question is found in John's overriding goal for his gospel account, which he clearly defined in chapter 20 and verse 31, where he wrote that his readers may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing they may have life in his name. You see, John was not interested in being a detached observer and chronicler of the life of Jesus. John is trying to persuade his readers and hearers of the truth of Christ, so that they might become Christ's disciples. Therefore, before he enters into an overview of Jesus' life and ministry, he begins by giving us Jesus' ultimate credentials as the Son of God. John presents Jesus in these verses as the Son of God, the eternal second person of the Trinity. He became a man, the Christ, and offered himself as a sacrifice for sins. And those who put their faith and trust in him will have life in his name, while those who reject him will experience a sentence of eternal punishment. In these verses in John's prologue, there are many themes that we could pick up on and we could think about tonight. But there's just one brief one that I want to call our attention to this evening as we conclude our time together. It's the theme of light. You see the word light referenced over and over in these 18 verses, for Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And John tells us, first of all, that this light was revealed. He says in verse number 4, "In him, in Jesus Christ, was life." That word life refers to spiritual life. It is Christ having life in himself. It is clear evidence of Jesus Christ's deity, because only God could say that he has life in himself. So Jesus came into the world to impart this spiritual life to sinners who were separated from God by their sin. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved."
Jesus Christ is light, and in Him is life. And I would say to you this evening, if you do not have Christ, you do not have life. For only Jesus Christ is life. You may have a pulse tonight. You may be breathing. You may be taking in air. But you have no spiritual life apart from Jesus Christ in your life. Not only was this light revealed in life, it was also revealed in light. For John says at the end of verse 4 and in verse 5, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. Life and light cannot be separated. In the clearest terms, Jesus Christ is life, and Jesus Christ is light. Light is that truth and that holiness manifest and made known against the darkness of sin and of death and of decay and destruction. This emphasis in this verse is on Jesus Christ being spiritual, life-giving light to the dark world. John says in verse number 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is God's life manifest in Him. Jesus Christ came to light the darkness of this world and the sin that separates us from God, so that we could see our need for Him, so that we could see our utter desperation for Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do that is when the light shines in the darkness of our hearts. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do, to shine His light, the light of the world, in the darkness of men's hearts. John says that this light, it shines in the darkness. It literally means that it continually shines. It keeps on shining and shining and shining. And everywhere this light of Jesus Christ shines, darkness must flee. Jesus Christ is the light that was revealed. But John also tells us that Jesus Christ is the light that was rejected. He says in verse number 5 that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And then in verses 9 through 11, he says, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. This light of the world, Jesus Christ, was met with resistance. The light of Christ came into the world and darkness pounced upon the light and tried to strangle the light out of the darkness. No one who rejects Jesus Christ's deity can ever be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus Christ was in the world that He created. And the world that He created didn't even know who He was. He was rejected by those He spoke into existence from the words of His mouth. He was rejected by those who He had been preparing the way for thousands of years. They rejected Him because the Bible teaches us that man loves its darkness more than light. And the people that Jesus made Himself known to rejected His light and rejected His life because they loved their darkness more than they loved Him. Jesus Christ is the true light. Everything else is merely a copy. And the people that He came and dwelt among would rather embrace the copies of light than the true light itself. They saw the light. They heard the light. They saw the works of the light. They saw truth and they rejected truth. They saw the way and they rejected the way. They saw life and light and they rejected life and light to have a mere shadow of the light. And do you know 2,000 years later, we still reject Christ because we love our darkness more than His light. Think of it. The one who said, let there be light. The one whose love constrained Him to shine His saving light through creation and conscience. the one who mercifully sheathed his light in a human body so that he might bring light to men, the one who set aside a special people for himself to be a light to the nations, was rejected. Yet today he is still light and continues to seek to pry his way into hostile hearts. Oh, John tells us the light was revealed. He tells us the light was rejected. And he tells us in verses 12 and 13 that the light was received. He says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John tells us that not everyone rejected Christ. Those who received the light of Christ, the Bible says, become children of God. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Becoming a child of God means that you can call God your Father. And what an awesome privilege that is. And John says those who didn't reject him, those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. To receive him means to take hold of him, to obtain him, to grasp him. To receive Christ means more than mere intellectual assent that Jesus Christ existed and he is who he says he was. To receive Jesus Christ is to grasp hold of him and never let go. And John says all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Did you notice what else the Bible says? It says they received him and they believed on his name. The name that is above every name. The name at which every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you receive him and you believe on his name, that he is who he says he is, that he did what he said he would do, he then gives you the right to become a child of God. And do you notice what John said about that? He used three negative statements to describe how this happens in verse 13. He says, we're not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the gospel in the clearest, simplest terms possible. The gospel in three words. But of God. When I couldn't get to God because of my sin that separated me from him, he came to me. Salvation in Jesus Christ is not about me working for it. It's not about me trying harder. It's not about me being a better person. Salvation in Jesus Christ is all about him. Salvation is about Christ from the beginning to the middle and to the end. And that's why John concluded it by saying all of this is of God, not of man. And so when I couldn't go to him, he came to me. These verses give us the marvelous promise of God that anyone who repents of their sin and receives Christ as their Savior will be born again into the family of God. It's as if John is saying to us tonight, the light after all these many years is still shining. And he asks us the question, have we personally received the light of Jesus Christ in our lives? That's the question that we should ask every Christmas, isn't it? Has the light of the world shone his light on the darkness of my heart and your heart and caused me to be born again with a living hope? I would encourage you this Christmas season, if you've never repented of your sins and received Christ as your Savior, there's no greater need in your life this evening than knowing the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me for prayer?